Hi, this is Mike with the Talking Information Center, and today I'll be reading the Boston Sun, dated Friday, February 20th, 2026. First up here, City grants liquor license upgrade to Trident Bookstore. This story written by Dan Murphy. Patrons of the Trident Booksellers and Cafe on Newbury Street in the Back Bay will soon be able to indulge in stronger libations, after the Boston Licensing Board approved a proposed upgrade of the long-standing independent business's previous beer, wine, and cordials license to an all-alcohol license on February 12th. The upgraded liquor license will allow Trident, which is located at 338 Newbury Street, to offer specialty cocktails in its new private event space and during regularly scheduled public and private events, as well as to offer Bloody Marys during brunch, said Michael Lemansky, the general manager, during the Neighborhood Association of the Back Bay Licensing and Building Use Committee's monthly meeting, which was held virtually on January 5th. Trident, which serves breakfast all day, already has a counter space with a few beers on tap, but Lemansky says this space would remain devoted mainly to tea and espresso drinks. Trident intends to keep its current daily hours of 10 a.m. to 8 a.m., from 8 a.m. to 10 p.m. Of receiving the full liquor license upgrade, Kimberly Flynn, director of Trident Booksellers and Cafe, wrote in an email, quote, "This is a big step for us, and we really appreciate the opportunity the City of Boston is giving us with an upgrade to an all-alcohol license. It will help us keep the Trident vibrant, support our community events, and continue creating the welcoming gathering space Boston really needs." Flynn also added, "We'll have simple, well-made classic cocktails, featured brunch cocktails, plus some cheeky, literary-inspired drinks that feel very Trident. We're excited because it opens the door to some really fun additions to our menu and will enhance the overall guest experience." In another matter, Lifetime Club and Fitness Center, a private gym at the Prudential Center, also received an approval from the Boston Licensing Board on February 12th to upgrade its beer, wine, and cordials license to a full liquor license. The Back Bay outpost of Minnesota-based Lifetime opened last October and spans nearly 60,000 feet across the retail spaces formerly occupied by Boston Sports Club and Barnes & Noble. The gym now has a beer, wine, and cordials license for its private second-floor cafe and lounge, which is open only to members and their guests, as well as for pop-up events, held either in studios or in other parts of the facility. At the NABB's Licensing and Building Use Committee's virtual meeting on January 5th, Helen Locke, cafe leader for the Lifetime at the Prudential Center, cited a strong demand for a liquor license at the cafe since it first opened. Moreover, John Ayetta, an attorney for the applicant, said the other area Lifetime locations, such as in nearby Chestnut Hill, Newton, Burlington, and Peabody, already offer full liquor licenses in their respective private cafes. The cafe's closing hours of 8 p.m. on weekdays and 5 p.m. on weekends would remain the same, although Ayetta said that the business intends to keep its allowable midnight closing time for events. Both applicants, along with several other applicants from other neighborhoods, must now receive approval from the state's ABCC, that's the Alcohol Beverages Control Commission, before the proposed upgrades to their respective liquor licenses can take effect. Now to our next story. King Tut exhibit opens Saturday at Saunders Castle at Park Plaza. This story here is special to the Sun. Discovering King Tut's Tomb, a new exhibition recounting the 1922 discovery of the Boy King's Tomb through the eyes of famed Egyptologist Howard Carter, that features handcrafted museum-quality replicas created by Egyptian artisans and animated storytelling. It opens to the public on Saturday, February 21st at Saunders Castle at Park Plaza. That's located at 130 Columbus Avenue. Now, the exhibition will offer guests the opportunity to visit the replicated chambers of King Tut's tomb, including the shrines, in nested coffins that safeguarded the young pharaoh's mummy. A state-of-the-art virtual reality experience will also allow guests to relive the moment when Howard Carter first entered the tomb from an interactive first-person perspective. Additionally, the exhibition will educate guests on delve into the rich tapestry of ancient Egyptian culture, including the significance of the Nile River. the pantheon of gods, the intricate process of mummification, and the life and legacy of the boy king, King Tut. The exhibit runs on Wednesdays, Thursdays, and Sundays from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., with the last entry at 5 p.m., and on Fridays and Saturdays from 10 a.m. to 8 p.m., with the last entry at 6 p.m., excuse me. All ages are welcome, and children 3 and under are admitted for free. The venue is ADA compliant. Visit tutboston.com for tickets, as well as for more information. Next up here, Councillor Flynn files 4 pieces of legislation that aim to improve pedestrian safety. This story is written by Dan Murphy. District 2 City Councillor Ed Flynn filed 4 pieces of legislation last week that intend to improve pedestrian safety in Boston. Councillor Flynn's filings included an amended ordinance to effectively ban mopeds and e-bikes from third-party food delivery services, as well as a new ordinance regulating all e-bikes in the city. He also refiled a hearing order to advocate for traffic calming infrastructure on main streets and in areas of high foot traffic. Additionally, he joined Councillor Enrique Pepin on a hearing order regarding school zones in Boston. It was April of 2024, the City Council passed Mayor Michelle Wu's ordinance to require third-party delivery giants, such as Uber Eats, Grubhub, and DoorDash, to obtain a permit. It remains unclear, however, if drivers will be able to obtain the liability insurance. Additional concerns regarding enforcement also persist. Last fall, an individual died weeks after a collision near Copley Square, so Councillor Flynn maintains it's now critical for the council to act to prevent more injuries or even fatalities. Moreover, Councillor Flynn's ordinance to regulate all e-bikes in the city intends to provide clarity and consistency on the regulation of e-bikes, including Class 3 e-bikes, which are currently classified as mopeds in the city of Boston. That's according to a statement from his office. Councillor Flynn stated in a statement, quote, "Since 2022, the city of Boston encouraged large third-party food delivery companies to have drivers use two-wheel vehicles, while the companies also incentivized workers to prioritize speed over safety to get more assignments and higher ratings. The result has been a significantly worsened pedestrian safety crisis, with mopeds and e-bikes going more than 20 miles per hour through red lights and stop signs nearly every day. No reasonable person believes the rules of the road can continue to be optional. It can no longer be the Wild West on the streets of Boston." For our next story, Neiman Marcus to close Copley Place location. This story was written by Sun Staff. Neiman Marcus will vacate its long-standing location at Copley Place, also the retailer's sole Massachusetts outpost, making way for an incoming Italian marketplace, a Greek restaurant, an assortment of high-end shops, all of this according to Boston.com. On Tuesday, February 11th, Saks Global, the parent company of Neiman Marcus, announced that it would close the flagship Back Bay store amid reorganizing in bankruptcy court. Neiman Marcus was among the first retailers to move into Copley Place soon after the mall was built in 1983. Saks Global will continue to have a presence in the Back Bay, however, as both Saks Fifth Avenue's men's store in Copley Place and its women's store in the Prudential Center. The multi-story retail space at Copley Space will reportedly become home to Miami-based Italian marketplace Casa Tua Cucina, as well as Estereo Mios, a Greek seafood restaurant, and a number of high-end retailers, including Dolce & Gabbana. Construction is expected to get underway later this year, and the project will be rolled out in several phases. To our next story, Senator Collins supports Senate passage of fair housing and key consumer protection bills. This story here is special to The Sun. The Massachusetts Senate recently advanced a trio of bills focused on protecting consumers and expanding opportunity across the Commonwealth, headlined by major legislation strengthening fair housing protections. Together, the measures address discrimination in the housing market, bolster safeguards for car buyers, and modernize standards for the certified public accountant workforce. Senator Collins in a statement saying, "We are hitting the ground running this season and getting important work done to protect consumers across the Commonwealth. Ensuring fair access to housing is fundamental, but we're also strengthening protections for car buyers and modernizing our professional workforce so Massachusetts families are treated fairly in every part of the marketplace." At the center of this package, Senate Bill 2947, an act regarding fair housing practices in the Commonwealth, legislation aimed at preventing discrimination in housing. Complementing those housing protections, the Senate also passed Senate Bill 2945, an act modernizing protections for consumers in automobile transactions to expand rights for car buyers and lessees. In addition, the Senate unanimously approved Senate Bill 2946, an act relative to modernizing the pathway to becoming a certified public accountant. The measure updates certification requirements and allows qualified out-of-state CPAs to practice in Massachusetts. All three bills now move to the House of Representatives for further review. Now to the news in brief. Author talk with Virginia Pye on marriage and other monuments. Tuesday, February 24th from 7 to 8 p.m. at the First Church Boston, located at 66 Marlborough Street in Boston. A story of race, politics, and marriage. Come hear author Virginia Pye discuss her latest book, Marriage and Other Monuments. Learn more and reserve a spot on Eventbrite. Copies of the book will be for sale by Trident Booksellers. The South End Library Author Series continues with Bruce Coffin on February 25th at Union Church. The South End Library Author Series will feature Bruce Coffin, a retired Portland detective, sergeant, and FBI consultant, discussing his latest book, Bitter Fall. That'll be taking place on Wednesday, February 25th at 6:30 p.m. at the Connection Room at Union Church, 485 Columbus Avenue. However, you must access from Newton Street. That'll be followed by refreshments and book signings at 7:30 p.m. Book sales will be offered by Parkside Booksellers at this free event. Come in person or attend virtually. For the virtual link, email info@friendsofsouthendlibrary.org to receive the Zoom info. Friends of the South End Library subscribers will receive the Zoom link in the group's MailChimp newsletter just before the event. Then join the Mass Cultural Council for the launch of Reclaiming History, an exhibit celebrating Boston's Chinatown, Little Syria, and New York Street's neighborhoods. This on Wednesday, February 25th at 6 p.m. Doors will open at 5:30 p.m. And this is taking place at the Josiah Quincy Upper School at 900 Washington Street. This event, which is free and open to the public, is supported by the Neighborhood and Downtown Activation Grant from the Mayor's Office of Arts and Culture, the City of Boston, the Mass Cultural Council, and Culture and Community Power Fund. Also, the United South End Settlements, the USES, will be recognized as an historic location by Everyone 250, a coalition of more than 100 local artists, educators, organizations, and advocates who are celebrating and amplifying unique pieces of Boston in honor of America's 250th anniversary. This on Friday, February 27th from 10 to 11 a.m. And it'll be taking place at the USES Courtyard at 36 Rutland Street. This event is free and open to the public. Light refreshments and coffee will be provided. Space is limited, so be sure to RSVP online. And join fellow Democrats from Back Bay, Fenway, and the South End in electing delegates to the 2026 Mass Dems Convention. The caucus will take place Saturday, February 28th, 11 a.m. at Union Church. That's at 485 Columbus Avenue. The 2026 State Convention is a nominating convention where delegates will gather to vote on Democratic candidates for statewide office and determine which candidates qualify for the September 2026 primary ballot. All are welcome to attend, but you must be a registered Democrat in Ward 4 or register as such in order to run as a delegate or vote for delegates. You've got questions, you can email them to ward4dems@gmail.com. And Fenway Ford will host its annual meeting on Thursday, April 16th from 5:45 to 8 p.m. It's taking place at Simmons University inside the Linda K. Paresky Conference Center. That is located at 300 The Fenway. For our next story, Senator Nick Collins presents Urban College of Boston with $100,000 in state budget funding to strengthen student services. This story is special to The Sun. Urban College of Boston welcomed Massachusetts State Senator Nick Collins to campus to celebrate $100,000 in state budget funding dedicated to strengthening the college's student support services. This fiscal year 2026 earmark will enhance academic and financial assistance for the college's largely non-traditional student population, helping remove barriers that often stand between adult learners and degree completion. The college will enhance key student support services, including academic advising and student financial services. These areas provide essential guidance, such as academic planning, financial aid navigation, tutoring, and technology support. Now, for students who are balancing coursework with employment and caregiving, services are often critical to staying enrolled and progressing toward graduation. Senator Collins in a statement saying, quote, Urban College is doing the essential work of creating real pathways for students balancing work, family, and countless responsibilities. Having worked in communities from South Boston to Chinatown, I have seen how access to education can change the trajectory of someone's life. Even in a challenging budget year, securing this funding is critical to ensuring Urban College can continue to help students climb the economic ladder across our city. During his visit, Senator Collins joined a panel discussion with current students and alumni who described how Urban College's multilingual environment, flexible course options, and technology support make it possible for them to pursue degrees while working and raising families. Students highlighted the value of tutoring and culturally respective instruction and shared how faculty and staff can help them navigate academic expectations and language learning. After the panel, Senator Collins met with faculty and staff to discuss the needs of adult learners and the college's role in Boston's workforce pipeline. Faculty emphasized Urban College's strengths in serving English language learners and first-generation students, its focus on digital literacy, and its commitment to wraparound services that keep students connected to their studies. Dr. Yves Salomon Fernandez, the president of Urban College, said in a statement, quote, Senator Collins has demonstrated remarkable leadership in securing this vital funding and recognizing the profound impact it will have on our students. This investment strengthens the academic and financial resources our learners rely on as they work toward their degrees while balancing complex responsibilities. We are thankful to Senator Collins and the Commonwealth for recognizing the importance and potential of Urban College students whose determination and resilience enrich our city and state every day. To learn more about the Urban College of Boston, visit urbancollege.edu. Founded in 1993 by leading anti-poverty agency Action for Boston Community Development, ABCD, Urban College of Boston is a private, nonprofit, two-year college based in Boston and accredited by the New England Commission of Higher Education. Urban College offers its community of diverse learners, associate's degrees, and certificate programs with an emphasis on early childhood education, human services, and general education. Offering courses in English, Spanish, Mandarin, Portuguese, and Haitian Creole, Urban College is a proud Hispanic-serving institution. The institution opens pathways to opportunity through affordable, flexible, and multilingual education that empowers students to pursue career advancement and transform their lives. You can learn more again at urbancollege.edu. The BLO does BPL, this story special to the Sun. Join Boston Lyric Opera for Opera on Tour, Daughter of the Regiment, a one-act English-language adaptation of Donizetti's beloved comic opera about a girl who grows up in a military regiment. Three performers and a pianist will engage audiences through singing, staging, and narration in this interactive introduction to opera. Opera on Tour, Daughter of the Regiment, runs for approximately 45 minutes. Performances are friendly for all ages, but best for children ages 5 through 12. Experience how an opera comes to life through music, acting, and movement. The tour schedule, which began on Wednesday, will wrap up today and tomorrow. That's Friday, February 20th, the Boston Public Library North End branch at 10:30 a.m. and the East Boston branch at 3:30 p.m. Then on Saturday, February 21st, at the Central branch at 3:30 p.m. For more information, visit blo.org/opera-on-tour. And next up here, WU and OYEA announced 2026 Mayor's Youth Summit. This story here is special to the Sun. Mayor Michelle Wu and the City of Boston's Office of Youth Engagement and Advancement, the OYEA, have announced free tickets are now available for the 2026 Mayor's Youth Summit, the MYS, an annual citywide celebration of the contributions of young people in Boston's culture. The 2026 summit will be held on Saturday, February 21st from 3 to 6 p.m. And this is going to be taking place at the Artists for Humanity Epicenter, a vibrant arts center for youth located in South Boston. This event is hosted with the support of city departments, Boston Children's Hospital, and other local youth-serving partner organizations. Mayor Michelle Wu here in a statement saying Boston's youth shape the culture and energy of our city, and the Mayor's Youth Summit is an opportunity to celebrate all they contribute. This year's summit will offer opportunities for our young people to showcase talents, connect with city leaders, and have fun with their peers. Join us in celebrating young Bostonians and the partnerships that make this summit such a special citywide event. The city is anticipating 600 attendees this year at the summit, with free tickets available for both youth and youth-serving community partners. In planning for the 2026 summit, the Office of Youth Engagement and Advancement hosted a series of feedback sessions with youth programs across Boston. The OYEA gathered youth input on event timing, design, performance, and food to ensure the summit continues its legacy of centering youth voices and reflecting the interests of Boston's teens. Pedro Cruz, who's the executive director of the Office of Youth Engagement and Advancement, saying in a statement, quote, "The Mayor's Youth Summit is a powerful celebration of the creativity, leadership, and voice of young people across Boston. The event gives young people a stage to perform and share their art while building meaningful connections with peers from every neighborhood. We're proud to create a space where youth are seen, heard, and empowered to shape the cultural and civic life of our city." The 2025 Mayor's Youth Summit marked the second time the event had been held since being reestablished as an annual conference in 2024, following a 20-year hiatus. Nearly 500 attendees gathered to celebrate young people in Boston with food, games, and music. This year's summit will continue the tradition of live performances that showcase the talents of youth from Beat the Odds, Boston Music Project, Teen Empowerment, Community Music Center of Boston, and other local organizations. The newly named Youth Poet Laureate will deliver spoken word. Mayor Wu will serve as the keynote speaker. Amanda Shea will return as host, and music will be brought by DJ Y-Sham. A statement here from Jose F. Masso, the Chief of Human Services for the City of Boston, quote, "Young people contribute so much to the culture and civic life of our city. I'm grateful to be part of a team that creates this space to celebrate the incredible talent, skills, and brilliance of Boston's youth, and I look forward to another fun, exciting youth summit." The city will also present the two awards, the Youth Leader Award and Youth Organization Award, at the 2026 summit. The Youth Leader Award will honor two Boston residents between the ages of 14 and 19 who demonstrate high levels of leadership among their peers and or a commitment to civic engagement. The Youth Organization Award will be given to the organization that demonstrates exceptional dedication to empowering and supporting Boston's youth. A statement here from Shari Nethersole, an MD and Vice President for Community Health and Engagement at Boston Children's Hospital. Quote, "Boston Children's Hospital is proud to collaborate with the city and invest in our young people. We support the Mayor's Youth Summit because it puts youth at the center of its platform, which encourages civic engagement and creates opportunities for youth to thrive in Boston. This year's attendees will receive branded tote bags, stickers, and sweatshirts, and have the opportunity to win backpacks from Sprayground and tickets to see the Boston Red Sox. At the summit, youth will be able to receive airbrush tattoos, contribute to a collective mural, and celebrate ideas for this year's Youth-Led Lead the Change participatory budgetary program. To learn more about this event and reserve free tickets, again, this is the 2026 Mayor's Youth Summit, go to boston.gov/youth-summit. Also, be sure to stay informed about all the initiatives from the Office of Youth Engagement and Advancement. That's over at boston.gov/OYEA. And follow their social media channels, OYEA Boston on Facebook and Instagram, and OYEA.boston.gov. That's happening over on Blue Sky. Now for our next story, COSO's Patrons Choice Exhibition 2026 on display through March 7th. After a long hiatus, the Copley Society of Art is excited to reintroduce the Patron's Choice Exhibition. This show puts jurying in the hands of our patron members, a dedicated group within the COSO community comprised of art enthusiasts and collectors. This is more than just a group show. It is a celebration of the connection between artists and advocates. Directed by the collaborative passion of those who support the arts, the exhibition ensures that the works selected have an immediate and engaged audience. The Copley Society of Art, the oldest nonprofit arts organization in the United States, is dedicated to cultivating a dynamic and inclusive artistic community by promoting visual artists of all backgrounds and championing diverse creative voices. Through exhibitions, educational initiatives, and mentorship, they provide artists with opportunities to grow, connect, and thrive while engaging the public in meaningful and creative experiences. And lastly here, Mayor Wu and the Office of Black Male Advancement award $500,000 in grants to 39 community organizations supporting black men and boys across Boston's neighborhoods. This story is special to The Sun. Mayor Michelle Wu and the Office of Black Male Advancement have announced the 2026 Community Empowerment Grant awardees, investing $500,000 in 39 community-based organizations across Boston. These grants support organizations that are leading transformative work to improve outcomes across education, economic opportunity, health, and community safety. The 2026 awardees reflect the depth and strength of grassroots leadership throughout Boston's neighborhoods. This investment will support organizations in scaling their programs, expanding their reach, and deepening their impact in the communities they serve. The Community Empowerment Grant Program is sustained through the Office of Black Male Advancement's operating budget and remains a core strategy in the city's work to advance equity and the Office of Black Male Advancement's mission. A statement here from Mayor Michelle Wu. Black Male Advancement's community empowerment grants ensure that we, as a city, are investing in local community organizations and empowering black men and boys across Boston. These grants connect residents to opportunity and deepen critical work across neighborhoods. I'm grateful to the Office of Black Male Advancement for their critical work to ensure Boston is a city for everyone. And a statement from the Chief of Equity and Inclusion, Maria Angeli Solis Servia. In a statement, quote, this investment is about strengthening the ecosystems that surround black men and boys with opportunity, care, and connection. The 39 organizations receiving community empowerment grants are deeply rooted in Boston's neighborhoods and are doing the everyday transformational work that helps black men and boys thrive across education, economic mobility, health, and well-being. And you've been listening to the Boston Sun, again, dated Friday, February 20th, 2026. I am Mike, and thank you for listening to the Talking Information Center.